got a real heavy heart this morning, family. First and foremost, welcome to any guests who are here for the first time. We thank you for being here. You could be anywhere this morning, but you're here with us. A lot going on in life right now for a lot of us in the congregation. My wife's father had a heart attack, so that's really been something challenging at our household. There's a lot of other things going on within this congregation that is challenging many of our family members here. So I just want to open up with prayer before we get into this message. And just let God have his way this morning. Okay? We just bow our heads. Father, we just come to you humbly this morning, Father. Just thanking you for waking us up. Life is so precious. Father, we're talking about bearing each other's burdens. And right now, there's just a lot of burden within the church. It's amazing how in the midst of this series, we've been able to meet needs of each other week after week after week like never before. So this morning, Father, with everything going on that only you know, Father, we're just asking that we're able to lift one another up. Father, you know the struggle of the message this morning. So I'm asking that you deliver it, Father. I'm asking that they don't see any of my failures, any of my frailty, and all of your faithfulness, Father. So we just thank you this morning, Father, for being with us. We thank you for being the awesome God you are. No matter what's going on, you are faithful, you are sovereign, and we trust in you. Continue to consume us, Father, from the inside out. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right. So that doesn't change anything. Good morning, Church on the Rock.
Good morning, Church.
And I need like some major energy from you, so we got to do that one more time. Good morning, Church on the Rock.
Good morning, Church.
I love that. Okay, thank you, Justin. So, my name is Rashad Cunningham. I'm the pastor here at Church on the Rock. We are going through our year-long look at our core values: look, love, learn, live. And we are in the first quarter of the year, so we're doing the look, and we're kind of looking inward and looking at bearing each other's burdens here at the church. But even if you're a guest here, I think it's something that's going to bless you this morning. So we're in a series called Give and Take, and as you see, there's a present there that's gift-wrapped that somebody is giving and somebody is taking. And all series long, we've been saying that burdens are actually a blessing, because when those burdens are met, God's using you to meet those burdens. So it's amazing to see how God is working in us to meet each other's needs. We're going to be in Galatians 6:6-8. That's going to be our main text, Galatians 6:6-8. And just to bring you up to speed if you haven't been here, we started off in the beginning of this chapter talking about how we are called to restore one another in a spirit of gentleness, to restore one another, examining ourselves so that we never think more of ourselves. And then last week, Paul literally just said, bear each other's burdens. And he looked and said, when you bear each other's burdens, don't think of yourself as more than the next person, because then you're going to look down on them or you're going to critique them. But also don't think of yourself as too little or too less than the next person, because then you won't even share your burdens. It's amazing, because as we went through that scripture at the very end, I kind of challenged the congregation to actually use the moment at the end of the sermon that we call the altar call and actually come and kneel and pray or meet me in the back. And people actually took advantage of that. And there were some things that were heavy on my heart at the end of that sermon that brothers came back there and prayed and bared those burdens with me. And I saw some sisters up here praying as well. And we want to continue to just do that over and over and over. If something is laying heavy on your heart, come up. We may not know what it is, but let us put our hands on you. Let us pray with you, and let us just share that burden. So ironically, as soon as I got done with that sermon, I went home and started looking for the next sermon and saw that God was going to challenge me, because immediately the next verse says, the one who has taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches them. I was like, great. So I got to kind of open up about some things that I'm burdened with. But nevertheless, we're going to hear a message from God, not from me. Amen. So I was saved 6 years ago. 2017? Yes, 6 years ago I was saved, accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. So that means there was about 27 years of my life before Christ. So this next story was in that time frame, all right? I used to go to the club a lot. I used to club with, Justin is just out there with me. Okay, I never saw you there, but I used to go to the club a lot. I was really into dancing, like battle dancing. Like, I can usher walk, I can moonwalk. If I didn't have boots on, I'd show you right now. But that was my thing. We used to line dance. There used to be a club in Brownsburg. We used to go there and do all those good things. But I always wanted a new pair of shoes every month because you always wanted to have some like white, all white shoes on because they stood out in the dark and they turned the black light on and you like, yeah, look at my fresh K-Swisses. Back then it was K-Swisses. I know y'all wear like Air Forces now, right? Okay. Well, back then it was K-Swisses. So there's a Kohl's in Speedway, right? And I used to take my dusty old trusty Nikes I would have that my mom bought me and I wore outside and played in or anything like that. And this is when I got older. My mom used to still buy me shoes. I was spoiled. But I would walk into Kohl's. I'd take those shoes off. I'd put on the K-Swisses to make sure they fit, you know. And then I would forget that I had to pay for them and I would just walk out. I forgot, though. I didn't, like, meant to do that. I just forgot, all right? Well, yeah, it sounds good, right? Well, one time I walked out and I got caught. And when I got caught, I got arrested. And when I got arrested, I went to jail. I quickly found out that you cannot take without giving. Like, real quick lesson there, right? And what we're looking at here in this series of give and take is kind of the same thing. You see, spiritually, a lot of you here, even if you're from another church, may have known somebody or even yourself take without giving. And when I say giving, I don't just want to like focus on money. And when we get into the context of this, we're not even looking at money. But a lot of you are taking from God's ministry and giving nothing back. A lot of us are taking from God's ministry and giving nothing back. So as Paul was working through this scripture, I mean, through this text, as he was writing this letter to the Galatians, he had just said each one needs to bear their own load. And then he goes in here and he says, the one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches them. Now, the Greek switches this up just a little bit, and it's important for this one. The Greek actually would read more like this. Let's share now the one who is taught the word with the one who teaches in all good things. So what you're going to find is this is not necessarily pastoral and congregation. You're going to get much more of a one-on-one discipleship feel with this and sharing burdens and sharing things if you read the Greek according to the way it does it. Now, I want you to see this here. The one who is taught the word in most cases is going to be you guys, and the one who's teaching is going to be me. And it says sharing all good things. So a lot of pastors will do this. They'll say, you see this right here? If you plant a seed of $1,000 today, you will be blessed in tenfold in 90 days. 90 days. And then there's like some little fine print that says the blessing is up to God. It may not happen. But, right? We don't do that here at Church on the Rock. I'm never going to beg you for your money. I'm never going to beg you for your time. I'm never going to beg you for your talent. I'm simply going to go back to the scripture and challenge you as a brother or a sister just to just follow his word. When we're looking at this here, here's going to be the first point. We don't pay tithes. We partner in with teachers. We don't pay tithes. That's law. And this whole book is about not being a part of the law. We don't pay tithes. We partner in with teachers. Now look at this. The one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches them. The first thing I would say is this. If you've been coming to Church on the Rock for 3 months, 6 months, if you've joined and you're a member, I ask you this. Don't give anything if you're not taking, okay? If your marriage hasn't improved, if your life hasn't improved, if you're not being fed the word, if the preaching up here is horrible, if your kids aren't growing, if this ministry is doing nothing for you, then you're not taking anything. So why would you give? It doesn't even make sense. I don't want you to give. But here's my challenge. If you're not taking anything from this ministry, you've been here 6 months, 7 months, 8 months, why are you here? Why are you here? And I'm not saying that from a get out, but I'm saying we've told you from day one, since I've taken over here, I've told you, if you're not being fed here, come to me, because let's see if it's something from a spiritual immature level or if you really need to be in another congregation. We will reach out to the congregation for you. We will go and do all the dirty work for you, because it's not about Church on the Rock. It's about his kingdom, right? So if you're not taking from this ministry, and I mean this with everything in my heart, if you've been here for a while, if you've joined, if you come in week after week after week and you're getting nothing from this ministry, come talk to some of us. so that we can get you somewhere where you can be fed and you can give back. There's no point in you giving here if you're not taking anything. But if you're not taking anything, then why are you here? We don't want you here to make our numbers look good. We're not preaching up here to entertain you. This is for edification. This is for education. This is for your spiritual maturity. We want you to take something from this. But if you're taking something from this, then you need to be giving back. And that giving is not just monetary, right? Like, we need you giving in all areas of your life. We say it all the time. Time, talent, treasures. This is what I've come to find. As a pastor, the biggest burden I have as a bivocational pastor is not my money. I have a job. I can make my own money. It's my time. I don't have time to do what I've been called to do, yet I'm accountable for this congregation. So when you look at this, the one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches them. Look how you could just live that out like today. When I'm up here teaching, preaching, there's hours that come with this. And then out of nowhere, your father-in-law has a heart attack. And then out of nowhere, there's a brother who has a need here. And there's a sister who has a need there. And there's a family going through this. And there's a marriage going through that. And I don't have time. So if you want to share in all good things and lift that burden off of me, use your time first. Well, what does that look like, Rashad? Join a Thrive. Not because we just want to push Thrives. No, join a Thrive so you can lift the burden that's on my plate. If you're in Thrives and you're interacting with each other, there you go, outside of Sunday morning, then you're going to hit knees before I hit them, before I hear them. You're going to hear the knees before I hear them, and you can meet those knees before I hear them, and those burdens don't even come my way because you're taking care of the burdens. What are you waiting on? We have 4 Thrives. We have a Sunday, a Monday, a Tuesday, a Wednesday, a Thursday. We have 5 Thrives. We have 5 Thrives. And I'm telling you what, if those don't work for you, we will make 2 more. like, don't let your time be an excuse. Well, I just don't have the time. You can't give an hour out of the remainder of your week to just stop in and check in on somebody. You ain't got to eat with them. You ain't got to be there for 2 hours. Just stop in for an hour and see what's going on with the family. Because when those needs are met, they don't come to me. They don't burden me. There's no weight on me for that. And that's what we put them there for. It's so that as a bivocational pastor, I'm not having to take my time to meet all these other needs because we have brothers and sisters who are meeting with you in a community and sharing those needs. So there's one way right there. But another way is just serving in general. Think about that. Like the teachers here that they're talking about, just so that you know, this is not just the pastor. This is any teacher. That's why I said it could go as far as discipleship. When's the last time somebody told Amanda Glover that she's doing a great job? She puts in probably as much time as I do for sermon prep, for prep back there. What about Jason, Elizabeth, and Tara? What about Amanda Urbanczyk? Like, think through this here. You could just serve. Some people say, hey, I don't feel comfortable with the kids. I don't know enough about the Bible. That's okay. We just need you back there because we got a lot of kids. And if y'all know anything about kids, we got a lot of kids. And that means we need bodies back there who are just willing to oversee. You can parent, right? Or you can watch, you can babysit, all those good things while the teacher teaches. But share in those good things with us. Bear that burden with us. Get even something as simple as singing louder when we do worship. That's bearing a burden because when we're up here, we're up here putting ourselves before you naked. We're naked up here. We're really like exposing ourselves up here. When you sing, we get that feedback and we're encouraged. Like the amens that I be hearing, y'all don't know. When I was in mama's church, boy, y'all tell me I need to sit down because when mama and them get to saying amen, they be like, boy, you better preach, boy. And that's encouraging. I'm like, yeah, okay, I better preach. I don't preach for the amens. Don't get me wrong. I don't preach for I don't need amens. But it was encouraging, right? Because when you're up here, you've had that weight of, Lord, I'm giving this for you. I'm doing this for you. I'm preaching to an audience of one. But I still see faces out there. Especially in this church, y'all just be making some of the faces. I be like, okay, y'all not helping me with this burden because I don't know if that was scripturally correct anymore. No, but seriously. All these things are sharing in all good things with he who teaches. And this is, it's biblical in the sense that it goes all the way back to like the beginning of the church. Let's look at Acts real quick. Look at Acts 2 real quick. I want you to see something. This is talking about Peter here. It says, and with many other words, he, Peter, solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Keep going. He says, so then those who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. Keep going. Look at this here. He says, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' what? Teaching and to the what? Fellowship. Stop right there. That word fellowship is the base in the Greek for the same word in the Galatians verse we're at that says share. It's the exact same word. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. Now, this is what it looked like for them. The breaking of bread and prayer. Keep going. And then it says, everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. We see that here. I've had people come up to me this week and say, I just can't believe what God is doing at our church. I had a need that was met through my Thrive. I had a need that was met by my brothers. I have a need that was this. Burdens are being buried. And there's a sense of awe because everybody looking around at each other saying, I'm broke. Everybody's like, I'm broke, you broke, we broke. But when we come together, boy, we can do magnificent things, right? So it says right here, everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. Keep going. And he says, and all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. Like, that's what we're shooting for. This whole entire chapter of Galatians 6 is teaching you how to live out walking in the Spirit. If you look at the context of it, Galatians 5 is where you get that famous verse of, it says, and this is the fruit of the Spirit, and it starts giving you all of them, like patience and self-control and loving and kindness. But then at the end of that chapter, it says, so we are called to walk, to step by the Spirit, right? And then it goes into bearing burdens, because that's walking by the Spirit. You have to be patient with each other. You have to be kind. You have to, you know, show self-control. So it says, and all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. Keep going. And it says, and they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. They were literally just bearing each other's burdens. Some were rich. Some were poor. Some were educated. Some were not. Some were spiritually mature. Some were not. And everybody came together and lifted each other up where they needed. Well, how much more for the teachers? How much more for the preachers? Once again, we don't pay tithes. We partner in. If you're not taking, I get it. Why give? But why be here? That's not for the guests. Guests, thank you for being here. All right? That's not for you. But if you've joined and if you're here and if you're coming week after week after week and you're not taking nothing, then let me just tell you this. This is your checklist. And I don't want this church to be your checklist. We're called to be much more than your checklist. Much more than your checklist. So don't put us in that position. Tell us you're not being fed, and we'll go find something for you. Or maybe it's you and we just need to sit one-on-one. Or maybe you just need to go deeper. That's what the Thrive is for. That's what the Fight Club partners are for. Because I get it. There's been Sunday mornings when I've been at Pastor Taylor's church where he had to keep it on that milk level for everybody that was there. And I'm like, man, PT, I'm not getting nothing out of that. He said, well, let's sit one-on-one. And then I was mind blown and humbled and was like, okay, I'm not ready for meat. And that's what you'll find most of the time, right? But it starts with partnering in with the teaching. Partnering in with what we're doing here. If you believe in this, why would you not partner in with it, right? Like, if you really sincerely think that God is moving here and God is having his way here, then partner in. And we're not talking about tithes, man. We're talking about every aspect of your life. Like, we need you. We need you. We can't do what we do without you. We can't. I said, for example, my wife's father had a heart attack. Heavy, heavy burden this weekend. And a lot comes with that, of her having to go out there and spend time with him and me having to hold down things. So what happens? I still got to finish the sermon last night. My sister Sarah took Genesis off my hands. It was like, you know, I'll spend time with her. I was encouraged by some brothers early in the morning yesterday. I've been prayed for over and over by many people. That is bearing that burden for me so that I can get up here on Sunday to teach. Like, it doesn't just magically happen on its own. There's so many things that have to happen throughout the week to get to Sunday for every ministry, not just mine. So many things have to go right for us to be able to stand here and actually do what we're called to do. And it takes you being a part and partnering in with what we're doing. we need you. So the first point is we don't pay tithes. We partner or participate with the teachers. Let's go back to Galatians 6 real quick. Let's go to the next verse. Then he says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. Do not be deceived. Don't fool yourself. Don't play yourself. That's my translation. God will not be mocked. So you can sit there and be like, yeah, I hear you, Rashad, whatever, but I'm just going to keep coming and taking. Well, God won't be mocked. Trust me, it'll come back full circle. For whatever a man sows, he will reap. So check this out. Second point, we don't pay, here at Church on the Rock, we don't pay salaries, we plant seeds. We don't pay salaries, we plant seeds. This sowing that we're talking about here, this is just a law of like the universe, right? Whatever you put in is what you're going to get out. What are you putting in? Some of us are like, man, I wish I was growing more in my word. I wish I was doing it. Well, what are you putting in? People want to be, hey, if I could break the Bible down like you. Well, what are you putting in? What time are you putting in? Like before we do any more programs or any more studies or any of that, what are you doing by yourself at home first? Before we bring any more burden to the church and what the leaders need to put in place and what we need to do, what are you doing yourself first? What are you putting in? What are you sowing first? Like, I get it. I want a Bible study too. My first question is, what are you doing in the word on your own? I get it. I want to do more outreach. Yes, but what outreach are you doing on your own? What are you sowing? Because that's going to develop the heart that we need to do more here as a church anyway, right? So don't be fooled. Like, you can't get away. They kill me. It's like, yeah, I did this, and I don't think God was watching. Really? Like, really? Like, that'll help you with a lot of situations if you just think that, like, God's sitting there like, what are you doing? You'll cancel a lot of things out your life if you think that way. Trust me. But don't be deceived. He's saying don't fool yourself. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will reap. We are not paying salaries here at Church on the Rock. We're planting seeds. The more you free up others, the more they can go out and do. Just think about missionaries, right? I don't know. Look, I'm an African American. I'm a proud African American. I'm happy to be black, but I ain't going to Africa, period. I will not feel called to Africa. There are people who do. We need to plant seeds, not pay salaries, so that they can get over there, right? There's people who feel called to Africa, Asia, Philippines, all these different things, and our money is not paying a salary, it's planting seeds. You need to reverse your thinking there, right? That'll change the way you give. And then you can look at 2 Corinthians 9 like this. Go to 2 Corinthians 9. It says, each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now look at this. That word cheerful, the Greek for that is hilarion. It's where we get our word hilarious from. God loves a hilarious giver, meaning don't give if you can't laugh about it. Y'all be giving like, man, first temper. To the point where some of y'all be like, I hate God. Because you're grudgingly and you feel obligated. That's law, man. That's why I said, we ain't doing tithes. We're partnering in. We ain't paying salaries. We're planting seeds. But if you have that mentality of, I'm doing this legalistically, then that's what it feels like. Grudgingly, meaning like regretfully, right? Or under compulsion, like forcefully. We don't want that. God don't want that. You should be able to give in a laughing matter. That takes care of that 10% crap. That was the law. That was your tutor. That's the baby step, honestly. You doing 10%? Golf clap. That's the baby step. That's the law. That was the tutor. Christ was more than the law. He gave abundantly, right? We should give abundantly. But you got to get there. You got to grow there. You got to sow into something to reap it out so that it builds your faith, builds your confidence, builds your dependence, and then you start doing it more laughingly, right? Like when I give, I can't wait to give. I got the can't help it. And I'm not just talking about money. Like when I get up here to preach, I'm giving you all of myself. My weeks go by so fast for prepping for this because I can't wait to give to the congregation I've been called to. What are you giving to us? You're taking a whole lot, because think about this. If you're looking at it from a plant seed standpoint, it changes everything. You're no longer hearing from Rashad Cunningham. See, a lot of you look at me and like, well, when I pay tithes, I know it's going to him. Nope. Don't work that way. Because if you're learning anything from these messages, that's God. So you're taking from God, not me. If you hear anything, if you gain anything from what I'm speaking when I'm up here, that is the Holy Spirit teaching you. That is not Rashad Cunningham. My alliteration is not that cute. All right? That is God. He takes it, he rick it, remix it, and then it comes to you how you need to hear it. Seriously, that's what he does. That's kind of how it plays in my mind, all right? You feel me, Dave? All right. So I can speak this way, that way, and in the way I feel most comfortable. And when you hear it, you're like, man, that hit me hard in this way. And somebody else in the same room could be like, man, that hit me hard in this way. Why? Because that's the Holy Spirit who knows how to speak to you where I fail in my failures, right? So you're taking from God. You're not taking from me. You're taking from God. Matter of fact, let's just go back to last year. Taking care of home. Vision, self, family, church. We concluded that all things come from God. If you woke up this morning, who woke you up? Thank you. If you have a job, who gave you that job? Who gave you the ability to have anything, the knowledge? We looked at that when we looked at Job. Who gave you the understanding to even have your workplace? God. So your money, God gave you that. Your house, God gave you that, right? Your time, God gave you that. If you woke up, he gave you that time. Your talent, anything that's in the church that edifies is a spiritual gift, meaning it was given from God. You can't create your own spiritual gift. You may be able to have some talent. Like, you know, you got a jump shot. That's cool. That's not going to edify the church. But what God uses in this church to build this church is from God. So when you sit back and you don't want to do something, or you don't want to serve in the area that you've been called to, or you don't want to use the gift that you know is from God, you're taking and you're not giving. Why? Why? Like, you're nothing but me stealing some K-Swisses. Yeah, your spiritual gifts are now K-Swisses. Think about it like that. And y'all just walking out the door with these new K-Swisses on without giving anything back. All of us should be locked up in some areas. All of us should be locked up in some areas. I got so convicted. I was talking to Drew Hildebrand from Connection Point. He said, man, he said, when's the last time you took a spiritual gift test? I was like, for what? I preach every week. And he was like, nah, man, there's other things you're supposed to be giving, because he gave you more than just a gift to preach. So he said, as you're looking at this text, remind yourself that even you are taking and not giving in some areas, because I got so caught up in this one area. That's a lot of us. We find that one ministry and we're like, man, I'm doing this. I'm doing it well. Okay, did he give you any other gifting? Because if so, he didn't give it to you to hold on to, or like I say, to preach at home to the walls. He gave it to you to build the body. Like, any spiritual gift is for the body. That's the only reason he gave it to you. It's not for self-edification. It's not for money. It's not for any of that stuff. It's for the body. So we don't pay salaries here. We plant seeds. Everything we're doing here, we're hoping to plant a seed, whether it's in you, in your neighbor, in the friend you invited, in your marriage, in your kids. That's all we're doing. So that should change the way that giving looks. Your time, your talent, your treasures, you're planting seeds. You ain't doing nothing for the church. You're giving back what God freely gave to you that you, remember this part, don't deserve. You don't deserve it. None of us deserve it. So why are you holding on to it? You ever seen the one where they give you 10 apples and say, give me one back, and you like, nah, bro, I need this for my apple pie. What kind of apple pie are you making with 10 apples? Does it take 10 apples, Aaron? It don't take no 10 apples, huh? I can't cook, so I'm in trouble. Somebody need to take me to lunch today. My wife is gone. I'm just saying. So let's get back to the text. Let's get back to the text. So he says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. A lot of people, when I was reading commentaries, they go two different ways with that. Some people say, hey, Don't think, like, he gave you a spiritual gift. Salvation is eternal. He could take that. He could sit you down. He'll humble you. Take it from me. I did the Christian hip-hop thing, right? And I got caught up in the hip-hop part because I love hip-hop, and hip-hop is by nature very aggressive, very combative. I want to be better than you. I had a conversation with my boy Blake Whiteley because he's really, really good. He's dope. I know y'all tired of me saying that word, but he is. He's amazing. And what happened was this. I got caught up in the going against him, like, man, that was a good song. I need to outdo that song. Man, that was a good album. I need to make a better album. Man, that was a good beat. I need to make a good beat. But I wasn't doing it for God at that point. It took me 2 years to make the next album because he sat me down. And I gave a testimony on the next album saying, yo, this just proved to me that if I'm trying to do it for me, if I'm sowing to the flesh, oh, he'll sit that down real quick. He will sit you down. You may think you are cute today. You will be busted and disgusted tomorrow. I mean that. He will sit you down. So when you get pride, it's yours to determine when to use and when not to use. He'll take that away. You thought you had a gifting for this, and all of a sudden you can't do it. There's been times when I haven't been faithful with the sermon prep, and I can't get up here and preach. Because I was like, I'll do it on my time. My third sermon at Sheltering Wings, and the women out there that are still there will tell you, it was the worst sermon ever. It was on Jeremiah 29:11, and I was like, man, my first sermon went so well. The second sermon, everybody was professionally pride planning. Oh, man, you could preach. I was like, oh, man, I got this thing down. My third sermon, I didn't put the sermon together until Sunday morning. Yeah, ooh. That's exactly, yeah. Like, everybody's faces was like, ooh, like, who anointed him? Because that was the wrong anointing. Like, that wasn't real. And that's what happened. I was foolish with it. I was all about the flesh. I was like, yeah, I got this together, and I'm on this platform now, and now, and everything was for me. It was for me. It's for me. Yeah, he humbled me real quick. And I found out real quick, all these gifts are not for me, not for the platform, not for my pride, not for a paycheck. It's for the edification of the body. So don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. Go to the next verse, the last verse here. He says, for the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. So the last point is this. We are not paying people. We are partaking in his promise. We're not paying people. We're not sacrificing and doing the things we do for other people. We're partaking in his promise, eternal life here. This is what we're doing. You have scriptures that say things like, work out your own salvation, for it is God who is doing a work in you. And you kind of feel like that's kind of a paradox. Like, how do you work out your own salvation, but God is doing a work in you? Well, if God is doing a work in you, you will work it out. So it goes right. It goes together perfectly. Well, look at this. If the Spirit is in you, you will sow to the Spirit. If God is moving and working inside of you, you are going to sacrifice. You're going to start sacrificing your time, talent, and treasures. It's a natural result. If you have a balloon up to your mouth, you can tell if you're blowing into it by the results of if it's getting bigger or not, right? Even if it's a little bit, it's going to grow. It's going to grow some. Well, if God is blowing into your balloon, there's going to be something. There's going to be evidence of it. There's going to be evidence of it. And when you're looking at the sowing of the seeds, they would have known it. The Galatians would have known it. Like, you can't plant oranges and get apples. Right? So start self-examining yourself and asking yourself, like, why am I taking and not giving? What's really going on the inside? Like, the song we just sang, consume me from the inside out, is going to start on the inside. And as a result, you will see on the outside. Where are you guys at? I mean that because as we grow, the burdens just get heavier because we all have them. We identified that last week. We all have burdens, right? Some are so heavy that we need each other. Others are things that we are called to have, like the burden of pastoring. That is for me. That's what it meant when it said bear your own load. That's for me. That's more like a backpack burden. That's like a fanny pack. Y'all remember fanny packs? It's like a fanny pack burden, right? But then the burdens in 6:2 are like bolder burdens that you cannot lift by yourself and you need others. Well, if nobody's willing to lift with us, then this church will crash. Like, one of the things that hit so hard when we were making decisions about the church as leaders is like, do we go to two services? Do we jump to a new building? And just being transparent, how can we go to two services when we can't get people to serve for one service? That's just the reality of it. And I love our church, but we have to start growing up. We have to become that spiritually mature. We have to stop deciding that this is my gift to determine when and where to use it. And if somebody gets on my nerves or somebody steps on my toes or somebody says the wrong thing to me, then I'm going to keep this gift to myself. If that was the case, nobody would be preaching, nobody would be singing, nobody would be teaching anybody. Because as family, in these close quarters, we're going to step on each other's toes. It's just going to happen. We are fallen people. That's a part of it. But in gentleness, patience, loving kindness, self-control, we restore one another and bear each other's burdens. As a pastor here, and I speak on all the other teachers, I speak on all the other ministries, we need your help. If you have partnered in with us, if you have joined and you are part of this congregation, we need you to start giving some from all that you're taking. If you're not taking, come speak with us. Because we honestly, if God doesn't want you here, we don't want you here. We want to find the place that God wants you, because it's not about Church on the Rock, y'all. It's about the kingdom. Like, I love Church on the Rock, but when I identify myself to people out there, I'm God's child first. Long before I'm Church on the Rock pastor, Baptist, all that other stuff that divides, I'm God's child. So I want you to be a part of this family and be where you can be so that you can take and give. So it starts there. And I know that's very inward focused, but somebody here may not have that relationship, period. Some of you may be a part of the congregation, may have joined, but don't have anybody that you feel will bear those burdens with you. Get into a Thrive group. I cannot stress that enough. This is not just some program or something we do because all the other churches do it. We literally are using it to train up our leaders to pastor over smaller communities within the church, meaning they will pastor over you. They will oversee you. You go to them, they will make sure that your needs are met to bear the burden that comes with pastoring a congregation that's honestly averaging over 100 people a week now. I tell other pastors that, and they're like, how? And I'm like, well, we got Thrive Communities. We got Women's Rest. We got a men's basketball ministry coming up soon. Just going to throw that out there. Come get some. All right. Anyway. But we got things that we're putting in place, not because they're programs, right? We don't have a women's ministry to have a women's ministry to match all these other churches. We don't have a men's ministry to match churches. We don't do small groups or Thrive Communities to match churches. We do these things so that no one person is taking on all the burdens that come with a church family. So let's share in all things. I want to show you one last thing. Go to Romans 12, please. It says this: therefore, I urge you, brothers, look at this, by the mercies of God, meaning he's saying, don't depend on yourself to do this, what he's about to ask you to do. He's saying, look at the mercies of God. Look at what God could have done to you, but he didn't do. All right? By the mercies of God, do what? Present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Or in the Greek, it's the reasonable thing to do. He died for you, right? He gave his life for you. He bared your burden. The reasonable thing to do is to go out and bear others. Start there. Like, seriously, start there. Just look at that part of it. If you simply just look at the cross, like we should always do with any scripture we're reading, go back to the cross and look what Christ did for you. Look at the example he gave you. Go to the cross and ask yourself, that was the biggest burden of all, the burden that divided you from God. What do you do with that? Do you come into the church and make this all about you? Are you a consumer here? Take, 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 no give? Or are you really here to make a difference? Once again, this is not law, okay? This is not you're obligated to do X, Y, Z, or else you're not a Church on the Rock member. Get out. It doesn't work that way because people have to grow in that. But if you don't start somewhere, then you're not sowing nothing and you're not going to reap anything. The faith that you're looking for to take that step starts with taking the step. And as you take a step, you'll have the confidence and you'll reap the confidence to take another step and another step. Some of you haven't even taken that first step. As a brother here who's going through a lot right now, I push all that to the side to help you take that step. Because that's what Christ did. Sacrificed it all to help us take that step, to give us a step to take, right? So whether you are a guest here who's going to go back to your church and change some things in your lifestyle to start supporting those who are in the church, or whether you're a member here or maybe you're just searching, there's a congregation of people who have been challenged over the last 3 weeks to share those burdens with you. Maybe you don't feel comfortable on a Sunday morning. Okay, do it at our Thrive groups. Get with us. We will place you in one. Maybe you don't feel comfortable there. Well, we have this thing called Fight Clubs where we sit one-on-one with you. Whatever it takes to share the burden, we have put things in place to make sure we share them together. I'm the pastor, and I run to my brothers with all my issues. And I don't get my face together Sunday morning when I'm struggling. I tell people I'm struggling. And I need you to help me bear this burden. So I want you to get ready to stand up and sing. I want you to actually sing, because these brothers and sisters up here, they're just as burdened as any of us. And they have to get up here week after week with the pressures of what's going on in life, and they have to minister to you. The very least we could do is minister back to them and let them know we hear them. And let them know we're paying attention to the words and that they are edifying the body. They're making adjustments week after week after week to try to serve you so that you can take and take and take. Well, give back by singing out, because it's God that's singing through them, not them. These are the words of the Lord. Take them and give it back to them. Worship him. But also, take from each other and give back to each other. I mean it, y'all. Join these Thrive communities. Find the time. If you can't do it on the nights we have, we will find the time for you. Get a partner. You don't even have to call it a fight club. Just get a homie, a road dog, an ace, boom, coon, whatever. And knot up. And share together in all things. Those teachers were not just pastors and fourth grade ministers. It's anybody that's pouring into you. Share in all good things together. And make this real. I think the theme of this thing for me has been, if we're going to call ourselves family, then let's be family. If we're going to call ourselves family, let's be family. I need family. I don't need religion. I'm done with religion. I tried religion. It failed me. I need family. I need people who are hurting when I'm hurting. I need people who will lift me up. I need people who will pray with me. I need people who will hold me down when it feels like there's nobody else out there. I need family. And I can't do that if nobody's willing to give for all the taking that they're doing. Amen? Let's stand up and sing together, y'all.
This podcast is a ministry of Church on the Rock in Brownsburg, Indiana. We hope that it has challenged you to grow deeper in your walk with Christ. If you would like any information about our church, please visit our website, www.churchontherockbb.com.